For nothing will be impossible with God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Aside from the crucifixion, few other Christian subjects have enjoyed greater popularity with painters than the scene described in today's Gospel, the so-called Annunciation. Virtually all the great masters of the Middle Ages and Renaissance painted it. I'm sure every one of us has one of these images in mind straight away now. There is a fascination with the idea of Mary's disquiet, surprise, and eventual acquiescence to the angel's message. We are told that she was much perplexed by the angel's words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel's reply implies that she was afraid. "Do not be afraid, Mary," he says. And Mary struggles to make sense of the event announced to her. How can this be? How can this be? Most of the context of this page of the Gospel leaves us too much perplexed. Starting with the image of an angel casually barging into Mary's kitchen, then the idea of giving birth to a child without sexual intercourse, or of a barren woman conceiving in her old age. And it must be said that the angel's explanations are not much help. How is Mary supposed to be reassured by the idea of a spirit coming over her and of a power overshadowing her? I would be rather alarmed if someone told me this. And finally, we have the hyperbolic characterization of the child about to be born, Son of the Most High, heir to the throne of David, Holy Son of God. We should not be ashamed, I think, to find this page so difficult to interpret. Over the years, I've come to the conclusion that the intention of Luke in this page is precisely this, that we too should be, like Mary, perplexed, that we too should be exposed to something we cannot make sense of. The purpose of this page of the Gospel is not to explain how Jesus is the Son of God, but rather, I think, to teach us how to deal with everything we cannot make sense of in our faith, in our relation with God, in the way God acts in our lives. So often we too, in our relation with God, like Mary, struggle, are afraid, perplexed, cannot avoid asking, why, why? Whenever everything goes according to plan in our lives, we think little or never about God. Let's be honest. Curiously, though, we always think of God or divinity or some higher power when misfortune, setback, illness, grief strike us. I have heard this poignant question many times, especially over the past couple of weeks. Why is this happening? Why me? Am I being punished for something? Even people who do not see themselves as religious, when confronted with the absurdity of life, cannot avoid wondering, being perplexed, being afraid. Something in us resists the idea that things can happen by accident, without a reason. We prefer the thought of being punished for something by the universe, by life, by a higher power, rather than believing that awful things can happen to us simply at random. It is at this junction, as I meditate anew on this page of the Gospel this year, that curiously I find it comforting. It is right to be perplexed, afraid, and unable to make sense of what happens to us. What we should never do, however, is think that we are punished for something, that the higher power out there is intent on retribution or on teaching us a lesson. We should never think this. On the contrary, if there is one emphasis in this page of the Gospel, it is on how much the Lord wants us to know that He has our back. He is there for us. He cares for us. It is not just to Mary, but to each one of us that the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You have found grace with God. You have found love with God." The message here is that God will never, never see us other than with benevolence, caringly, anxious to come to our rescue, to be there for us. Almost everything else in this passage is enigmatic, but not this sentence. The thing we can be certain of is that we have value in God's eyes. Whatever we might have done wrong, and we do wrong things in our lives, whatever punishment we might think we deserve, this is the way we look at ourselves and at each other. God looks at us in another way. He enters in our lives, encouraging us not to be afraid. He persuades us that all He wants is to take care of us. And this is confirmed by another sentence of the angel to Mary: "For nothing will be impossible to God." Nothing will be impossible to God. Does this mean that God has the power to do everything in creation, in the history of the world, in the triumph of good over evil and the like? It might be. It might be. But I do not think that this is the meaning of this sentence in this context, in this page. Indeed, when the angel says nothing will be impossible to God, he's talking about something almost, so tiny with regards to the history of the world. He's talking about Mary's cousin Elizabeth, an old woman taunted and humiliated by her barrenness during the whole of her life, and who is finally becoming a mother and conceiving a son. If I were God, I would choose something a bit more impactful and sensational to give a proof of my power. And indeed, in the Old Testament, God divides the waters of the Red Sea, makes food rain from heaven, and even stops the sun in mid-course. Here, however, God is not intent on giving a demonstration of power. He wants to reassure Mary and each one of us, not that He has the power to do whatever He wants, but that He has the ability and the desire to care for each one of us personally, individually. Here we perceive the reason of the enduring fascination of this scene of the Gospel, not only among artists, but in Christian piety, namely that it is personal. This scene is very personal. It is very intimate, it's very domestic. God does come in Mary's kitchen. It's a way of saying that He comes in the midst of our lives, where we are, catches her in the midst of her daily chores. There is an announcement, yes, but much more deeply, there is an exchange, there is a conversation. Mary is not a pawn in a story much bigger than her. She is greeted listened to, praised, comforted, and encouraged. Thus, the pregnancy of a cousin Elizabeth is not a proof of the power of God, because it is not a demonstration of power that can win over Mary, nor us. The whole thrust of this scene is not on power, but on care. Nobody cares for an old woman's sadness and not having had any child. Nobody cares about how she must have felt in a society that valued women only for their ability to bear children. She must have been tortured by a sense of failure, worthlessness, and shame. God, though, cares. This is what is possible to him in a unique way. Not the power to do anything he wants, but the ability to know what burden, what guilt, what shame, what pain each one of us carries within herself or himself and bring us comfort. Even the most compassionate among us will always have limited time and energy for the individual inner burden of the people we meet in our lives. Even the most benevolent among the powerful of the world might help people in general, but cannot care for each person individually, cannot listen to everyone, cannot comfort anyone. This is the sense in which we have found favor in God's eyes. Each one of us is visited. Each one of us is valued, just like Mary is. It is with regards to my personal fears that God invites me not to be afraid. It is my perplexity and my inability to make sense of things that He understands. God understands. I am assured that He knows what pains or shame I have in me now, and He cares. I like to think that this is what Mary understood. Everything else she was told in this scene of the Gospel was just too much. Virgin birth, divine insemination, royal offspring. I think that she knew less after the angel's explanation than before. What eventually, I think, persuades her is the assurance that nothing will be impossible to God, in the sense that this is a God who has the unique ability to know, to stay close to us, to be with us always. This she trusts. On the basis of this assurance, she can say, "Here I am." Because she realizes that this is what God is telling her in the first place. This is what God Himself does. This is what God wants us to say this Christmas. "Here I am. Here I am." God says to us, "I might not always give you answers you can understand, but I want to give you the meaning you need, a care you can trust, and a love you can rely on." In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.